إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. صدق الله العظيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها، وأبغض البلاد إلى الله أسواقها. رواه المسلم. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah, who is our creator, who is our nourisher, who is our cherisher, who is the Lord of all the worlds. To him we seek help and to him we worship, and we all shall return to him one day. And we ask Almighty Allah Ta'ala to shower his choicest peace and blessings upon our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his beloved companions, and those who would follow his footsteps till the last day, the day of Qiyamah. Before we start off with today's khutbah, first and foremost, I would like to admonish each one of us, firstly including myself, with taqwa. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, it is for a person to bring 100% total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring the total commandments of Allah ta'ala in our lives, to abstain from all type of sins, and to do good as much as we can. Today's khutbah, I would like to briefly discuss on a certain topic, a topic which would be easy to call through a hadith as well, by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Masjidu Baytu Kulli Taqiyy. The hadith which is related by Tabarani, he said, the house of every pious man is the masjid. So this is the topic which I would like to discuss with you today, and especially covering the points as the role of the masjid, virtues of building a masjid, the link which we have currently with the masjid, and what are the efforts we could do so that we could strengthen the connection with the masjid. So respected brothers, first and foremost, let us see what is a masjid. In Islam, compared to the rest of all other religions, the masjid is not specified only for ibadah and only for spiritual activity, but rather it encompasses a vast field. It encompasses a very huge scope in a human's life. For an example, when we take the masjid, in the past and currently in the present as well, the masjid has been an agent of culture, cultural improvement. It has become a place where spiritual improvement is taking place, where social improvement is taking place in the community, and this masjid is the base where all this initiates. When you look at the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we go into the books of history, we come across where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he migrated to Medina, while he was living in Makkah, the environment wasn't suitable for da'wah, it wasn't suitable for the Muslims to practice Islam. Muslims were badly tormented, they were hurt, they were persecuted, and etc. Because of that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that Makkah is not a field where he could make the message of Islam spread to the world. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to migrate to Medina. We see, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even reached the exact place where he has to on his migration, we see that he started to build the masjid even before he started building his own house. What could be the reason? The reason could be, as mentioned above, the reason is the development of the community lies in the masjid. Masjid is the headquarters for all Muslims, whether he be a young man, whether he's a youth, whether he's an old person, whether he's a child, anybody, the tarbiyah, the base for all his tarbiyah lies in the masjid. So respected brothers, taking a view on how masajid took place at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that the masjids, generally as we all know, it was a place where spiritual value was taught. Masjid was a place of ibadah, where people used to come, pray their five times namaz. They used to say in i'tikaf, durus of ilm took place, and etc. So, a masjid is a place where a person should generate his iman. It is mentioned in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the prophecies of Qiyamah, the signs before the Qiyamah, that the masajid will be built around the world, and people would start boasting about their masajid. They would say, my masjid, our masjid in our locality is better than yours. Ours is more luxurious and comfortable than yours. But, respected brothers, those masajid will be devoid of guidance. Devoid of guidance. Allah should protect, save all of us from that. Whereas we should see whether the masjid construction does not matter. When we see into the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Masjid al-Nabawi could not accommodate 100,000 or 200,000 musallis at the same time. But rather we see, when we read through, we come across that when it started to rain in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the initial stages of Islam, that the rain drops used to fall inside the masjid. Because of that, the Sahaba used to do sajda on mud. Their foreheads were full of mud, and they were to the extent that they did not have even light inside the masjid. It is mentioned that Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu was the first Sahabi who initiated with producing a lamp to the masjid in the 90 of Hijrah. So we see that the lamp was introduced to the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after 9 years of Hijrah. But you see, outwardly the facilities in the masjid wasn't very big, not like as we have it these days. But the final motive behind the masjid is to produce leaders to the community. We see the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, even though they were linked to a masjid as such, but they were great leaders to the community. They became great ulama to the community. They became great soldiers, great warriors of Islam. That was the university where thousands and thousands of Sahaba were sent out to the world to conquer countries, to propagate the word of Allah to the whole world. And also masjid plays a cultural role as well. We see Islam is a religion which is not biased. It does not say that you have to spend your life only in ibadah. But whereas Islam covers even a larger scope. Islam says muamala, you do it according to the sharia, you are given the reward. You conduct your family matters, you conduct your family relationships in the correct way, you are rewarded for it. So cultural role is taught through the masjid. You see, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the best example we could see, Ashab al-Suffa, who was seated with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. They used to sit with him day and night. They used to spend most of their time there. But end of the day we see, those were the Sahaba who became propagators of deen. Because of their striving, because of their sacrifice, we see that Islam spread far and wide. And another role which the masjid plays is the social role. We would see, but these days it is rarely found even in our country. But we see in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, affairs of the people were handled inside the masjid. Marriages took place inside the masjid. Masjids was a place where if two people had disputes amongst themselves, they used to come to the masjid where the Qali would decide and judge the matter. Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to judge matters between the Sahaba, masjid was used as such. So therefore, respected brothers, even the masjid was used as a judicial court or a community center. We see generally in these times, in our zaman, we have to have this. Because we see every human being is faced with problems. Where does he go to? He goes to the non-Muslims. He wants to sort his problem out. So he doesn't get the correct guidance. So he falls prey to the kuffar. But whereas if we have something inside our masjid where we could guide our Muslim brothers to the correct way, counsel them, to give them guidance in the correct way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make that masjid similar to Masjid al-Nabawi as well. Another role which the masjid plays is the political role. Generally when we speak about politics, we might think on another perspective. But respected brothers, when we look at the political role which the masjid played at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was totally different. The best example which I would like to quote to you is Sumama radiallahu anhu. Before he embraced Islam, he was a ruler in Yamama, a place known as Yamama. He was a ruler there. So during a battle, he was captured by the Sahaba and he was brought to the masjid and he was tied on one of the pillars. He was tied for 3 days. But for 3 days he was a very But a very harsh man, he said, Ya Rasulullah, send me. It is better if you send me off, if not you ask him for trouble. So he stayed there for 3 days, and once he was untied on the third day, respected brothers, see what happened? The Masjid al-Nabawi's environment was such that the kuffar who were tied inside the masjid after 3 days, they started to embrace Islam. Because the Islam which was shown by those Sahaba was perfect. And this was the way the captives of war, the prisoners of war were dealt in the prehistoric times, in the Islamic history. And also, respected brothers, the ghanima which was acquired in battlefield was distributed and stored in the masjid. So we see that political issues were also dealt inside the masjid at the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these certain roles, and there are many others as well, we each one of us should see, the respected brothers, have we understood at least these roles which the masjid play? And also it comes in hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the virtues of building a masjid, in establishing a masjid in a particular locality. And also he mentioned many fadail, many virtues for the person who cleans the masjid. For an example, a hadith which comes in Ibn Majah, it said, "Man bana masjidan yuzkaru fi ismullah, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." The one who builds a masjid where there would be the remembrance of Allah in it, Allah would build a house for him in paradise. Maybe we might have the question, "Oh Allah, I cannot afford to build a house. I cannot build a house on my own. Where is it possible for me to build a house? Where can I build a house for you, for the sake of you? How can I build a masjid? It is not possible for me." We might think like that. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith has lightened the burden upon us. He said, "Man bana masjidan ka mafhasi qatatin aw asrar banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." The one who builds a masjid for the sake of Allah, and to the size of a bird's nest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would build a house for him in paradise. Respected brothers, even a brick which we would fund to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will make us among those who would be receiving a house in paradise. Okay, we cannot afford even that brick, or we cannot do some funding to the masjid. Okay, leave it alone. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Ibn Majah, "Man akhraja adhan min al-masjid, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." The one who takes away the dirt, a strand of hair, or whatever impurity from the masjid, and he takes it out of the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a house in paradise. So we see the fadila, the virtue of a masjid is such that it is, we cannot imagine. You build a masjid, you cannot build it. Okay, you can fund something. You cannot fund something, you can take off the dirt from the masjid. And Allah is ready to give you a house in Jannah. So respected brothers, a masjid is such a sacred place. So if a person, if a Muslim is connected to the masjid, what is the benefit he is going to gain through this? What is the benefit he is going to achieve? There are many ahadiths to mention this. I would like to quote a few. Firstly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Sahih al-Bukhari, the riwayat comes, "Sabaqun yudilluhum Allahu fi dhilli." On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant shade for 7 people. On that day there will be no shade except for the shade of Allah, except for the arsh of Allah. On that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the person, "Rajulun qalbuhu mu'allakum fil masajid." The person whose heart was connected to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give his shade on the day of Qiyamah. As we all know, the sun is going to be a mile away from us. On that day Allah is prepared to give us the shade of his, and there will be nobody to help us. But only thing we have to do is to have our hearts attached to the masjid, our hearts linked to the masjid. And another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha ra'aytum ar-rajula ya'tadu al-masjid fashhadu lahu bil iman." This riwayat of Tirmidhi, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you see a man who frequents the masjid, bear testimony, bear witness that this person is a man of iman." This person is a man of iman. The alamat, a sign of iman, is that a person who frequents the masjid. And also another hadith, as we all know, a very frequently heard hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Salatul rajuli fi jama'atin tula'afu ala salati fi baytihi wa fi suqi 25 laqfa." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who performs his salat in congregation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward of this man to 27 times. Maybe we are at home, we hear the azan, we could come to the masjid, respected brothers. Allah is ready to reward us with 27 times multiple fold than we pray alone at home. Respected brothers, let us take for an instance how is our mindset when we are inside the masjid? As we all know, when we enter the masjid, we feel secure. We feel a peace of mind. We feel tranquility in our heart. Whereas we see the world is trying its best that humans start achieving peace in their hearts. In English they say, you can buy a bed but not sleep. You can buy a house but not a home. And etc. Respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept the peace of heart in the worldly matters, in our worldly pursuits. But whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the tranquility of the heart, Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, the tranquility of the heart lies in the zikr of Allah. So the best zikr of Allah is the salat which we perform 5 times a day. Just imagine, if we are to pray our 5 times namaz in congregation, what type of tranquility we can achieve in our lives. So many people are taking pills so that they could feel, they can feel relaxed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept them inside the masjid. Thousands are running behind somewhere else, but the cure, the prescription is to stay in the masjid. So respected brothers, let us just compare in our lives what type of connection, what type of link do we have to the masjid in our locality. When we look into the lives of the Salaf al-Salihin, the pious predecessors, it is said about Sa'id ibn Musayyab rahmatullahi alayhi. He was one of the senior tabi'in. It is said about him, he said, ma fatatni takbiratul ula mundu 50 sana. I never missed the first takbir in Jama'at for 50 years. And further he said, ma nadartu fi kafa rajulim fi salati mundu 50 sana. And I have not seen a man's back while I was praying for 50 years. It means that first, that Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi was habituated to pray in the first stuff for 50 years in his life. Respected brothers, leave alone the first stuff, or leave alone the Jama'at, or leave alone our Salat. How many of us have in our life the habit of performing Salat on time? How many of us in our life we have got the habit of praying? This is our situation. And further, Baqi ibn al-Jarrah rahmatullah alayhi says about A'mash rahmatullah alayhi, kana al-A'mash qareeba min 70 sana. A'mash rahmatullah alayhi, a great imam, he was nearly 70 years old. Lam tafutha takbiratul ula. He never missed his first takbir, even though he was a 70 old man. These were our pious predecessors. These are the people whom we have to follow. But respected brothers, let us see our own situation. Individually, if we are to counsel ourselves, we will see, does the masjid occupy a space in our heart? When we get back home, or when we get back to the office after Jum'ah, or when we are in the bazaar, do we feel something strange when we don't go for Asr Salah to the masjid? Do we have some space in our heart to the masjid? Respected brothers, we could decide on our own selves. So, the environment we live in these days is tempting towards haram. The environment we live in is not favorable to protect the iman. So where could we protect the iman? Even when we go back home, there are certain things which are distracting us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which those equipments are weakening our iman, but we don't feel it. So where do we find a place to safeguard our iman? It is the masjid. So as long as a person is linked to the masjid, connected to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would keep his iman safeguarded, protected, and it will day by day it would increase, and he would become a friend of Allah. And another thing to be mentioned is a topic on its own regarding our youth in our times. You see, the lives of the youth have become today a carefree life. They have their own styles, they have their own life, and they live in another world. They live in another world. They call themselves teenagers, they do whatever they want, and they think that they are enjoying life. Respected brothers, each one of us, if we take the number of musallis, the amount of brothers praying in our local masajid for Salatul Fajr, if we could count how many youth are attending the Fajr Namaz, we could hand count them. We could say only a few youth are attending the Fajr Namaz. If this is the situation of our community in this society at this time, when Muslims are faced with trouble and, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us, but still yet, if the condition of youth is this, youth who are going to be our leaders in future, what could be the situation after we pass on, who are elders in the community, and there isn't anybody to guide the youth? Who is going to be responsible to these youth? How are these youth going to be connected to the masjid? Who is responsible for this? We ask all the youth to have in their hearts that attachment to the masjid. Because the youth is an age where you could achieve anything through your own will. You see, for an example, if a young boy wants to go on a trip which is organized by his friend or his school, he goes home, but he gets the red light from home. They say, no, you are not going to take part in the trip. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that young man, young boy, to convince his parents, and finally he gets the green light. Respected brothers, what I mean is, if youth has got that talent, but currently the youth, they don't know where to use this talent. They are using it on their mobile phones, on the internet, and etc. They are busy with something else, but whereas the ummah, the community needs them. So where could we bring youth as those great imams, those great conquerors, those great warriors? Tariq ibn Ziyad, who was nearly in his teenage, he was able to conquer Spain. Muhammad ibn Qasim, he was a young man, he was able to conquer Sin. Respected brothers, what about our youth? Our youth are suitable to become leaders of an army? Our youth are leaders to become, are they suitable to become leaders of the masjid? Where do our youth stand? This is a topic on its own, but we have to show more concern regarding our youth. So, respected brothers, what could we do to strengthen our ties with the masjid, strengthen our relationship with the masjid? First and foremost, in our lives, maybe a phase in our life has passed, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 and plus, whatever. Maybe that life has passed away, it has gone, it will not come again. But we could see to our future. We could have a firm determination in our hearts that from today onwards, in my life, I am going to pray my salat in the masjid, in my local masjid. Maybe I am at my workplace, I could ask for some permission. Okay, I don't get it, then I can pray at least at the office. If I have some Muslim brothers there, I can organize a small jamaat as well. Respected brothers, we could achieve it. Okay, we cannot go to the masjid. We are far away from the masjid. We cannot visit the masjid except for one day in the week. Respected brothers, at least try to visit the masjid for Salatul Fajr in your life. Make it a habit. Make it a ritual that you visit the masjid every morning for Fajr Namaz. Pray a salat with jamaat, with congregation, and go back home. You will see the difference. You will see that peace of mind in your life. You will see the raha. You will see the barakah in your life. Respected brothers as well, take your children along with you. Those children who are able, who knows the etiquettes of attending the masjid, those who they are brought up in such a way that they know to behave in a proper manner inside the masjid, we have to bring them along with us. We have to teach them this is salat, this is the masjid, these are the things which take place in the masjid. We have to guide them. If not, we might pass off, we might die off, you know, our lives will come to an end. But if my son, my child is not used to attending the masjid after my death, it will be a strange place for him to visit the masjid. You would think masjid is a place for those pious people with beards and caps. But whereas, respected brothers, the main mistake was the bringing up of that child. Maybe your child wants to go for further education to another foreign country. If you didn't bring up your child in an environment where he was used to praying in the masjid, Allahu Alam, when he flies there, when he goes to that new environment where he is faced with fitna and fasad, do you think that he would be a person who would be frequent in the masjid? So where is the training? It is the parents' duty to bring their children to the masjid and guide them to the straight path. And also masajid could start special programs to the youth forums. We could give activities for the youth. We could ask them to contribute their strength to the masjid. Because of this, gradually youth would start involving themselves in activities which will benefit them and as well as the Ummah. At the time of Sahaba, they were training for war, which took place inside the masjid. But we don't want all that. But we would ask our young brothers to come forward and listen to some halaqa which is taking place in the masjid. To sit for some tafsir classes, to sit for some fiqh classes, to improve their knowledge. Because they are going to be our future leaders. And also, respected brothers, if it is possible, every masjid should have a library in them. We see at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this need wasn't available. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there to admonish the Sahaba, to advise them, to guide them. But in our times, if a person enters the masjid, maximum, if he wants to spend at least an hour or so, if he has a library inside the masjid, respected brother, he could spend some time reading some valuable literature, valuable issues of Islam, so that he could involve, he would energize his iman by reading good things. And also, respected brothers, masjid is a place, as I previously mentioned and already mentioned, it's a place where community plays a very large role. When you see the rest of the world, other religions, maybe certain people take part in the activities inside their worship places. But a masjid, it is not only the imam who is taking part in the activities, but rather the whole locality has to take part in the activities. That is a masjid. So, we have to create a sense of love in the community by meeting our brothers of Islam in our locality. We have to help each other. We have to greet our Muslim brothers visiting the masjid with a broad smile and with a salam. If we are unable to greet our Muslim brothers with salam, at least have a broad, very cheerful face when you meet them inside the masjid. And if our Muslim brothers are absent, they don't come to pray with Jamaat, or they have missed their salat, and they have fallen ill, or there is some need to them, there are poor in our community, a masjid could organize something in such a way that they could inquire about these brothers who are missing. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, is mentioned that a certain sahabi did not attend the Fajr namaz. After Salatul Fajr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu inquired the sahabas, "Do you know anything about this sahabi who is missing, who didn't attend the Fajr namaz?" They said, "Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know what was the reason." He said, "Come, let's go to his place. Let us see what's gone wrong." And he went to his place, and the sahabi's mother comes forward and she says, "My son performed Qiyamul Layl. He was busy praying in the night, and because of that, sleep has overtaken him. So he was unable to come for Fajr namaz." Respected brothers, even though a person missed one Fajr on one particular day, the Khalifa was ready to spend his time to meet that Muslim brother. This type of community, the feeling of the community should come into those who are involving themselves in the masjid. Wherever the masjid they may be, but have a firm determination to take part in the activities. And I would like to quote if the mosque is able to speak, if the mosque is able to speak to us, it would say, "Why have you left me alone? Why have you left me alone? I don't see you for salat. I don't see you for good deeds. I don't see you for the halakas which take place in the masjid. Why have you left me alone?" And it would ask us, "Why do you come only for Ramadan? Why do you visit me only for Ramadan? Hey man, what is wrong with you?" And it asks, "Why do you come for Eid only? Why do you come to the masjid only for Eid? There are so many days, 365 days in a year, and you only visit me for Eid? 2 days of the year?" And the masjid further says, "O Muslim, you see, for a marriage you came to me. For the marriage, every man, generally every person comes to the masjid to conduct his nikah. So the masjid would say to us, 'Hey man, you remember you came for your nikah and you visited me and I was with you. But remember, even though you are not attending me in your life, but remember a day will come, the final place, the last place you will visit before your grave will be me.' The last place each one of us, even though we like it or not, we are going to visit the masjid first, and then we are going to visit our final destination, our grave. Keep that in mind, respected brother, before it is too late. we have to be linked with the masjid. So, with these three words, finally to conclude, maybe in this gathering, in this khutbah, there are many of us, in our lives we didn't have the habit of praying salat. Maybe we were careless about it, or that we never prayed in our life. But it's alright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. So, those who don't pray, at least start praying from today. And those who miss Fajr namaz, those who are busy sleeping, at least start standing up for Fajr namaz on time and start praying. And those who pray at home, they have got the habit of praying at home, start praying in the masajid. Imagine if the whole Muslim ummah, if they can perform their congregational prayers in the masjid, what an impact it would have on the society we live in. For Fajr namaz, if this same crowd, if this same congregation could take part, what an impact would it have on the non-Muslims? Respected brothers, with these few words in mind, our firm determination, things which we discussed in today's khutbah, the roles which a masjid would play, and those spiritual roles, the cultural roles, social roles and political roles. We also dealt with the virtues of a person building the masjid, the virtues of a person cleaning the masjid, and also we spoke about the benefits, the virtues a person attains by his connection with the masjid. How we learn, he stays under the shade of Allah on the day of Qiyamah and etc. And also currently, where do we stand? Where does our community stand? About our youth situation, about our situation, how our pious predecessors were connected to the masjid. And finally, to, as a solution to all this, to become attached to the masjid, certain things were mentioned. So we ask Almighty Allah Ta'ala to inspire us with good and to guide us towards the straight path and to give us istiqamah in deen and give us the tawfiq to act accordingly whatever spoken in this Jum'ah.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.